ABC's Good Morning America in October had a report that the name Messiah is now ranked 387th in the popularity as a baby's name in the United States. So there are 811 Messiahs born last year in this country. Amazing, right? Of course, there are also children who are named Prince and Princess. They are very popular. Actually, babies are now even being named King. The name King is more popular than Jonathan. Last year, over 1,400 little boys were named King, whereas only 1,394 were named Jonathan. Wow. What does that say? Of course, in the ABC program, there was a psychologist, and she came and said that this is all a reflection of our narcissism. We want people to be powerful and famous and have money. Yet, I would like to think that maybe there's something else going on when we name our children Messiah and King. Of course, there is some of that. Yet, perhaps there is also a desire on part of parents that somehow their children would make a difference in the world, that we are pushed to the wall thinking that something awfully is wrong with our world and that I hope that our children can make a difference. Today is the last Sunday of our Christian year because next Sunday begins our Advent and Christmas season. And for some reason, the church leaders have felt to call this day Christ the King Sunday. In some churches, they even call it a festival of Christ the King. And right away, because we have watched the British royalty, I guess we think of Jesus with crowns and all that. On the other hand, the church in Sweden has called it the Doom Sunday. Now, the Swedish people may have something there on us, because on this day we read the story of Jesus' crucifixion. So how come we have Jesus, the King, being crucified on the cross? Now, what is the story that we tell as Christians when we meet people? Why Jesus is on the cross? Now, I'm not going to do the 2 minute with you because it might be a story something like this. Typically, the traditional story that we've told about Jesus is that we human beings are sinners. And because we sin, we owe it to God to pay the penalty for our sins. But the penalty is so big that there is no other human being who could pay for this. Only a perfect human being could pay for our penalty. Knowing that, only a perfect human being is one who is divine. So God comes down as human being. Jesus takes our place on the cross and pays our penalty for us. Very logical, isn't it? Unfortunately, that's not a story found in the Bible. That is a story that some thoughtful theologians came out. Actually, a man named Anselm, who lived in England, Anselm of Canterbury, in 1076. He wrote a book called Cur Deus Homo, Why Did God Become a Human Being? And in his explanation, it is God who is doing this very violent transaction. Somehow God demands that we human beings be just, not be sinful. So then God pays the price by sending his son to die in our place. But that story makes it sound as if our God is a very violent God who is demanding payment for sin. And so many of us feel uncomfortable talking about a God who demands blood and violence. So what is the story that we as Christians can tell about Jesus on the cross? The story that I would like to remind us is a story that Jesus always told about himself. As Jesus' life is getting closer to the crucifixion, Jesus begins to tell us stories about these parables, about the owner of the vineyard, who keeps sending his messengers to the renters of his vineyard, telling them, "You have to bear fruit. Show me some grapes, some great grapes that I can eat." But every time he sends a messenger, they insult him. Sometimes they would hurt them. Other times they would wound them. They would dishonor them. Jesus says, finally, what can this owner do, this vineyard owner? In the parable in Luke 20, Jesus says, the owner thinks and then says, "I think I will send my son. Perhaps they will listen to him. Perhaps they will be shamed into honoring the promise they've made." So in the story that Jesus tells, the son is sent without any guards, without an army, just himself into the vineyard. And of course, in the story that Jesus tells, they do not listen to him. They decide, "Oh, here is the son, and here he comes without any army. We will kill him because we want to take over the vineyard ourselves." And then Jesus goes on to say in Luke 20 that the owner of the vineyard became angry, and then he changes the renters and gives the vineyard to other people. What happens to Jesus on the cross? Why is Jesus on the cross? If we read the Bible and take the story as it is, we know that it is the Roman Empire which crucified Jesus. Crucifixion was a punishment meted out to people who were rebels, terrorists, you might say. They wanted to make sure that nobody would do what Jesus does. So Jesus is killed because he is seen as a threat, not only to the political powers that be, but also to the religious leaders of his day, who thought Jesus would shake up the boat too much, was demanding too many things from God's place. Jesus dies that way, on the cross, alone. Yet if we look at this story, what is it that Jesus tells us on the cross? Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for these people do not know what they are doing." And as the people around the cross hear it, the leaders are jeering, but the people feel ashamed. They said, "Look, this is the Son of God. Look what we have done to this one sent by God." And later on in the stories in Luke, we would hear how people went home beating their chests, ashamed of the way they've treated this final messenger from God. In the Old Testament, there's a very similar story of the vineyard owner in Isaiah chapter 5. In that story, God is the vineyard owner, and he kept sending his messengers. They keep not listening, dishonoring, hurting, and wounding the messengers. In the story in Isaiah, though, the owner gets angry, and he wipes away the vineyard completely, saying, "I am so angry at you." But in the stories that Jesus tells, he tells of a different kind of owner, a God who becomes vulnerable to human beings. There is a story about the king of Jordan that I read. Hussein bin Talal was the king of Jordan. In the early 1980s, his security police came and told him that a group of 75 army leaders were plotting to overthrow the government, and that they came and asked him whether the security police could surround the barracks where they were and to arrest them. The king heard this, he thought about it, and then he said, "No, please bring me a small helicopter." King Hussein got on the helicopter alone with the pilot. They went a short distance, landed on the top of the barracks where these men were. Then he told the pilot, "If you hear gunshots, please leave." He went down two levels of stairs into the basement where these men were and appeared before them suddenly. And they were shocked. And he told them, "I know what you are doing here tonight. You're finishing up your plans to overthrow the government. But if you do that, the army will become divided. You will start killing each other. The country will be falling into a civil war, and we will have so much bloodshed on our hands. Here I am. You can take my life and save the country." They say the men were so surprised and overwhelmed by this king's words that as a man, as a group, they knelt before him, they kissed his hands and said, "We'll be loyal to you to the end of our lives." King Hussein was willing to become vulnerable. And because of his vulnerability, a country was saved. We see Jesus on the cross, and we know what we have done. Our songs, "Were You There When They Crucify My Lord," reminds us that, yes, it is us human beings. It is the way we've been organized, our societies. Yes, we are violent. We are vengeful. We would rather that people listen to us and do it our way, or else we lounge at them, we hurt them, we even murder. And all around us, we see this cycle of violence. On that cross, God remains vulnerable to us. God, the creator of the universe, comes among us every year as a baby, willing to say to us, "Here I am." God does not send his army of hosts, his angels to punish. God says, "If you are willing, I can change you with my love." We Christians have oftentimes preached that God is a God of love, yet in the way we've acted as if God is a God of revenge, God of jealousy, God who is not willing to allow this dissidence. Yet on the cross, we see God who is vulnerable. So how do we talk about Jesus on the cross? Perhaps it is not Jesus the King. Perhaps we should be talking about Jesus who brings a new culture into this world, a different way of being, a God who is nonviolent, a God who is not vengeful, a God who is willing to give himself for us, so that we can love, so that we can be different. Certainly, the human race is still sinful, and we see all around us how the cycle of violence continues to take away people's lives. Even as we live in this time of ongoing crisis against terrorism, you may wonder, well, we as Christians believing in Jesus, does that make any difference at all? Because we can think of no other option than to meet violence with another violent force. We can make peace only through violence, we think. How many of us truly think our present has another option? We can't. But God did on the cross, didn't he? God did not react in violence toward the human race. And that has shown us a different way that we can be towards each other, toward ourselves, and toward the world. In Jesus, God has begun to build a new culture, new kingdom, based on forgiveness, love, and nonviolence. How can we talk about this cross this week? First, I think it's for us to become aware of God's love for us. We can't explain it. We don't know why. Yet the cross shows us how much God loves us. We can let go and let's see ourselves in our ugliness, knowing that God still loves us. And then we can repent, as Jesus said. Don't live the way you've lived. You can turn around, Jesus says. And God will help us change, starting with us, and then reaching out into our neighborhoods. I invite us to see this Jesus and meet the God who continues to reach out to us, calling us his children, telling us that through us a new world is possible, a new you is possible. Let us pray. Do we really believe that God loves us? See Jesus on the cross, looking down at you, saying, I love you. You are God's child, just as I am. See and hear Jesus telling you, your sins are forgiven. You will be with me in paradise. See Jesus suffering to remind us that the world can be different, their lives can be different. And inviting us to be vulnerable to each other, to open our hearts and our lives to each other, so that God's love can spread through the world through us. Jesus, our King, invites us to join his culture, to become the seeds of a new world that is being born in our midst. May God give us such faith to see this God and to be changed by this God so that our world too can become a different place because of us because of Jesus. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to remind us again that you remember us.